Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Every time I read something like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals like we came out this morning, I immediately text it to our IT people. And Nick Matteo is one of those guys. And they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible. And I remind them that that's what Wells Fargo and all those other places said about our private information. So I've got some real concerns about that. And hopefully we'll be okay. That's kind of like that, you know. We'll see what happens. I really wouldn't want the opposing coaches to have our playbook or our draft meetings. That would be preferable. We could stay away from that.
Bully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's John Harbaugh. And, of course, he's being slowly surrounded. We know that. He's an NFL head coach. Everyone out to get you. And we're delighted to welcome in our friend Greg Gabriel joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Morning, David. That was a good lead-in. John Harbaugh's a little bit insecure right now.
With good reason, no doubt about it.
Paranoia set in the NFL.
Oh, boy. Didn't paranoia set in that, like when George Halas was in charge? I think it was
I think so.
In Canton, Ohio. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Greg, first of all, condolences on what happened with the XFL. That is difficult stuff. You were serving as the personnel director with the with my favorite team, I'll be honest with you, the Washington Defenders. Who could predict that something like this was going to happen, and obviously it waylaid the league?
Well, it did, and I'll tell you, I've read some things over the course of the last 3 or 4 days, and I don't think anybody has it right. They're saying, you know, the failure of the XFL is because of this. They don't have it right. We were right on schedule doing exactly what we thought to the numbers we thought we were going to have. If it wasn't for this pandemic, we'd still be going. And, you know, I mean, last week we were still having planning meetings. We didn't think this was coming, but given the economic situation in the world right now, I can't blame Vince McMahon for pulling the plug. I don't know if it's totally gone. I mean, we weren't told that. We were told league operations have been suspended. Does that mean for 2021 and he's going to bring it back in 2022? I don't have the answer to that. But I know this was something that he wanted to have succeed, and everything was going in the right direction up until the last month.
So, Greg, here you are with a lot more time on your hands than you expected to have. And so you're 2 weeks before the NFL draft, or now it's less than that. But have you found yourself – Are you interested? Are you cramming information? And how do you view overall kind of the draft, you know, being April 23rd and the refusal to move it back?
Well, I'm trying to play catch up, and in all honesty, some people in the league have reached out to me and had me evaluate some players for them, which I've done because I have tape. And that's been fun, but, you know, for me, it's catch-up because there's obviously hundreds of players you got to look at. And, you know, I've been doing it for, what, a week? If that, because, you know, we were still a going operation, you know, a week ago. So It's been fun, but I'll tell you, a lot of these people in the NFL are worried about this virtual draft. We had a virtual draft in the XFL two times, the regular draft that we had over the course of 2 days in October, and then the supplemental draft a month later in November. Everything was done virtually. We had 70 rounds and 560 players drafted in the October draft. There was no glitches. There were no security problems. Everything went smoothly. Now, granted, we had every team had, you know, their personnel staff and coaching staff together in one room during this, where the NFL, it's going to be spread out. But still, technology is such that I think this is going to go off. It's not going to be ultra smooth, especially when it comes to trades. But, you know, the NFL gives out the list of numbers of who you got to call with each team if you got a trade proposal. I think things are just going to, when it comes to that, you're going to make calls a little sooner. So, you know, it's not going to be done right on the clock, two or three picks beforehand. And let me back up with the first round. They're already making the calls, you know, just setting the stage in case the player they want is there, and so that they can, you know, make a deal fairly quickly if possible. But when you get into the later rounds, when you only have, you know, 5 minutes to make a pick, you know, I think you're going to have to call three, four, or five picks before that selection is up on the clock, but, you know, so you can start making decisions as quickly as possible.
Greg, it's fascinating to think about the lack of information or the lack of interview or the lack of face-to-face and how that affects this thing. I saw, you know, one of the more intriguing names out there is Jordan Love, the quarterback, and I saw a report where seven NFL coaches have contacted his college coach, Matt Wells, within the last week. What does that say to you? What does that make you believe about this kid?
Well, you're trying to get as much information as you can. And, you know, with quarterbacks especially, you like to go out and have a private workout. And private workouts aren't, you know, 20-minute, 30-minute situations. You're spending hours with the player. You might go out to dinner the night before. Then, you know, the next morning you're doing classroom work. You're trying to see how quickly he can pick up things as far as, you know, installing some plays on the board, see how quickly he comprehends that, can give it back to you, and then you're going out on the field and see if he can take what he learned in the classroom out to the field. So in this situation, where it's all done virtually, it's done over the phone, it's not as smooth, you don't get that feel good. And that's not just with quarterbacks, that's with any position. You know, usually the month of March, you've got a ton of private workouts where the coaches go out, they spend time with players that they're targeting, the coach tries to get a feel good for the player, he can come back and say, hey, I really want this guy, or on the other side, he doesn't want him. You're not having that this year. So having the coaches as part of the equation, I think gets thrown out. So this is going to be more a personnel department type draft, you know, this year particularly.
Greg, you've been with the XFL, you've been obviously focused on that, but you know the Bears, and you know Chicago, and you know the landscape here. How big of a draft is this for Ryan Pace?
Well, every draft's big, but, you know, you look at reality, and he doesn't have a lot of picks. He's got two in the second round, and you're going to get two good players then, and he's not picking again until the fifth. That says, well, okay, maybe he'll try to trade down with one of those twos. You know, easier said than done. Number one, given the realities of this draft and the timeline and stuff, is he going to be able to do that? And then you don't want to turn down a good player to trade back unless you have, say, a list of three or four players that you like, you know, similar type grade. Say, okay, I might lose out this guy on this guy, but if I trade back four spaces, five spaces, or whatever, I'm still going to be able to get this other guy that I really like. So it depends on that. You know, obviously you're not going to have a quantity draft, given that they don't have the high picks, so they're looking for quality. And in that second round, you've got to get two guys that you hope can come in and play right away.
When Matt Nagy keeps saying that that Mitch can't wait to compete for the starting job, is that code or something? I mean, it seems like they've got a replacement in Nick Foles, but every time you hear Matt Nagy talk, he says, "Oh, he's such a competitor, he can't wait to compete." Wouldn't you prefer to not have to compete to have played well enough to keep your job?
Well, obviously, last year was a disappointment. I can't tell you why I didn't watch as closely last year as I usually do because I was getting ready for the XFL season. But you didn't see the growth that, coming off the 2018 year, you thought there was going to be a lot of growth in 2019. That didn't happen. And the reason, and you don't know the reason why. We don't know the reason why. I'm sure the coaches might know. But I think that's what they're trying to figure out. I think they had to have a plan in place that if the air doesn't start going back up, you got to have a plan for have somebody to jump in. Now, if you look at the history of Nick Foles has always played his best basically coming off the bench and within this scheme. So, I think if I was betting on this, I would say Mitch is going to be the starter come game one. Whether he's the starter game three, I think that remains to be seen because I think the leash is going to be very, very short.
So, Greg, looking at the Bears' needs, knowing what they have and what they don't have, how would you approach their second round two picks there at 43 and 50? And how do you avoid letting needs dictate, what the way you go if they're as acute as they are in some position areas?
Well, you can't turn down talent. So regardless of the position, if there's a guy that they have real high, they got to take that guy. Now, I would think, and again, I'm not as up to date with this draft and what the Bears need as I usually am, but I would think that need-wise, you want an offensive lineman. Now, people say you need a guard because Long's gone. Well, you can take a tackle and move that guy inside. It happens a lot in the NFL. And then he learns, plays inside, gets his experience, and then when one of the other tackles is ready to move on, you put him outside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the best way to do it because that player doesn't have to go through that learning curve of playing on the island of left tackle or right tackle. But I also think they need a corner because you didn't bring back Prince Amukamara and probably another receiver. But, what exactly is it, they're going to do? Who knows, because they're going to have a group of guys. Who's available is going to really dictate that.
There's a good tight end in this draft that may be there when they pick. The problem is they got 9 tight ends under contract, 2 of whom they're paying big money, and 1 of whom is a former second-round pick. When you have a log jam, does that tell you that you're short something and you need to make a pick, or does it tell you just can't take that position?
Well, no, it doesn't tell you you can't take the position, and I'm sure you're probably referring to the local kid, Cole Kmet. Is that who you're referring to?
Yep. That's right.
Good player and a guy that can play inside at the Y because he can block, and he's athletic enough to, play in the F position, the move position. So, excuse me, if he's there, I'm sure you got to talk about him. He's going to be in the discussion. But that being said, you're going to have those discussions now. That's going to be going on this week and the first part of next week. So when you're looking at the scenarios, it's not a decision you're going to make on the clock, so to speak. You're making that decision now saying, okay, we're looking at this guy, this guy, this guy. Who are we taking? And so that when you get to draft day, you know exactly what you want to do. And that also goes back to what we were talking about before with a potential trade down. If you have enough guys that you really like, then the opportunity to trade down and get maybe a third round pick or a fourth round pick is there and still get a quality player.
Greg, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Greg.
Great talking to you guys again. Talk soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.